$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-host, Rick Maxian.
Hello.
And no, Brian Higgins. He
Hi.
Is once again in the land of the mouse.
I am Brian.
Oh, Brian, I thought you were in Disney World.
I am. I'm phoning this in.
Do you have a cough? Are you sick? Your voice sounds a little off this evening.
I was punched in
You were punched
nuts.
In the throat, just like John Travolta in the movie Face Off.
Oh,
good transition.
That was terrible.
Oh, come on.
All right, it was one of your better ones.
That was the movie we did the full reviews of this past week. But before we get into
we
that,
did.
How are you, Rick? How are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm looking forward to some time off and some travel. Going to be going up to Portland and
nice.
A bunch of brewery stops and
nice.
Checking out those lighthouses.
I may have a vacation at the end of the month, but we'll see.
A potentially promised vacation.
Potentially.
Yes. Would you ride on a boat just like John Travolta and Nicolas Cage at the end of Face Off as they fought? Boat wars!
I would ride on a boat like the boat in The Last Crusade.
The love boat.
No.
Soon we'll be making another run.
That's not
it. Which boat are you referring to when he's like, he goes under
the Last
boat
Crusade.
Propeller?
Yeah,
okay.
That one. I'm ready to
they
die, Dr. Jones.
Are you Miss Dr. Jones?
Yes. I'm ready to die, Dr. Jones. Are you?
So, yeah, Rick. So, like I said, we did Face Off. It was the full movie we did the reviews of this week.
We did?
Any kind of follow-up thoughts after thinking about this movie, letting it kind of digest for
no,
a week?
No, I tried to remove it from my head because to me it was just so sad.
What do you mean?
Because it's all about his son dying.
Oh, okay, yeah,
that's the whole premise.
But you did state you always forgot about that scene.
I did, and now I remember it, and I'm like, no.
Now it's all you can think about.
Yeah, like the rest of the movie, I totally forgot the rest of the movie.
They should do one of those, you know, there's like a website that does the dogdie.com, so like before you watch a movie, you can know if
like
that happens.
Like Dog the Bounty Hunter?
No, not Dog. Just a movie that features like a dog as a character before you
like
watch
Old
the
Yeller?
Movie. Yeah. Like Old Yeller. Yeah, everyone knows what happens at the end of Old Yeller.
Whoever thought that was a good thing to do?
For kids to watch, too.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
It's like Bambi's mother.
But again, I wouldn't watch that movie because I know what happens, but there's a website that will tell you, like if you were watching Independence Day and you wanted to know if the dog made it or not, and you went into the website and saw that it didn't, although it does. I'm giving you an alternative world scenario. But if it said it didn't, you're like, I don't want to watch the rest of this movie. You know, I know what happens to the dog.
What about
so what
like,
if you did that for kids?
Yeah, that
like
would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense because, like, that would be sad.
I did enjoy, like we said, you could easily nitpick it. It was an action movie of the 80s, and we kind of put it in the category of all those Nicolas Cage ones around the time, The Rock, Con Air. Like, there's definitely things you could nitpick because it's a fun, dumb action movie, but it's fun. Like I said, overall, it's
fun. Well, yeah. The premise is cool.
It's definitely very... I kept putting myself, almost like the plot of the movie, in the mind of maybe John Travolta or Nicolas Cage being like, hey, do you guys want to be in this action movie? It's unique with this body swapping thing that's going to happen. It sounds like a very different concept at the time. Now, they've done it a million times since then.
Yes.
But at the time, it sounds like it's very unique and something that I would do, you know?
Like in Ocean's 12.
Ocean's
12.
Oh.
When Julia Roberts plays
when Tess
herself.
Looks, Tess plays Julia Roberts.
Yes.
And Bruce Willis is like, hey.
She plays herself.
Randomly shows up. But one of the things I do want to mention is that we had a special guest, random guest during that full episode, if you recall, my brother. Who was also bringing up some, called my brother.
Yes.
I called my brother special guest.
Yes.
But there was definitely some interesting things he was bringing up in terms of like mythology and related to this movie.
Yes.
I mean, the
which I never got.
You didn't pick up. I mean, I picked up the overall one, which I have a little bit of information about the brothers Castor and Pollux, because that was a famous brothers through Greek mythology. But some of the other points he brought up as well, their last name is Troy. That was obviously a famous story with the Odyssey and the Iliad,
right?
Yeah, I
know it is, but and also with Brad Pitt.
Sean Archer, you know, that's kind of like a role that they're bringing up. that like archers were definitely warriors during Greek times, so that was interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found a website. It was called cracked.com, and they mentioned...
Like Cracked, like the magazine?
Like Cracked magazine.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that the fact that the characters were named Castor and Pollux kind of gave away how he was going to die by the end of the movie. Like, it's a giveaway based upon his name.
If you know the story.
If you know the story,
but that's
right.
Like, yeah, if I read the books of Jurassic Park or something, I'm going to know the storyline. Like,
right. Like, for example, so like you said, if you know the story of Castor and Pollux, you know that he's going to die via spear. And that's kind of what happens. He dies via spear gun, so that's going to set it up. Why do we know this is coming? So Castor and Pollux are two brothers from Greek mythology, as we mentioned,
yes,
who make up the Gemini constellation. Which in Latin is for twins.
I also did not know that.
Yeah.
They look nothing alike.
They don't. Not identical. Julius. They're also brothers during the whole Helen of Troy tale.
Troy?
Well, because their name's Castor and Pollux Troy.
Yes.
Like, there you go. So that's how they kind of came up with their names there.
Okay.
So it says here that Castor got killed because they got in a feud with their cousins, whose names were Lynceus and Idas. Ultimately led to Idas killing Castor by impaling him with a spear.
So, but that's not named Sharna Archer.
No, it has nothing to do with the archer name. It just,
oh,
it
archer
just indicates,
for the spear.
Yeah, like exactly, like someone that might throw or shoot a spear.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's a bit of a loose connection, but they're saying that's where John Woo kind of got some of the inspiration a little bit. So while we're talking about...
Did he do Broken Arrow? No.
Yep, he did.
He did.
Yeah. He didn't sing Broken Arrow, though. That was Rod Stewart. Who else is going to bring you a broken arrow?
I don't remember that.
So while we're talking about kind of that mythology and some fun facts, let's see some more fun tidbits about the movie.
Yes, I would enjoy that.
So the one of the most like interesting scenes I thought rewatching this movie was the gun battle at like Castor Troy's hideout. And his son, who we find out, Adam, he has his headphones on. He's listening to Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That juxtaposition of gun violence with, like, a really pretty song going on. That was John Woo's idea, and it wasn't part of the original script. Paramount Pictures refused to finance this extra scene, so John Woo had to put up his own money to make it happen.
Good for him.
Was later paid back as the film turned out to be profitable. And he had done the same thing in the movie Hard Boiled. Nicolas Cage actually turned down the role of Castor Troy at first, citing that he had a lack of interest in playing a villain. However, once he was told he would actually be playing the hero for a majority of the film, he signed on. So he didn't want to be a bad guy. And he's ultimately the good guy. It's Sean Archer in Nicolas Cage's body. So that's how they got him. Oh, here's a fun one, and we brought this up a little bit. Originally, they wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone.
Interesting.
Who would have played who? Who would have been Sean Archer? And Stallone would have been Sean Archer, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Arnold would have been the bad guy, but then he would have been the good guy for a majority of the film. Could you see Arnold in an office playing an FBI agent? I could see Stallone more. That's what I'm thinking.
It's like a weird thing. Like, you're getting into, like, Demolition Man type of stuff.
Yeah.
Go, okay, you're going to have a guy who's kind of crazy, and we're going to get Sylvester Stallone to be the good guy, but now he's a bad guy, and now he's going to be a good guy. It's weird.
No, Rick, we've seen the poster of this movie and how it's spelled, and did you ever wonder why that slash was between the face and the off? You know, it says face slash off as opposed to just face off.
No.
There's a slash between the face and the off.
Is it because they're cutting the face off?
Well, John Woo originally wanted to take the slash out of the title, but he kept it in so people wouldn't think it was a hockey movie.
Because at the same time, Jean-Claude Van Damme
was in Sudden Death. The first real-life face transplant was accomplished in 2012 on Richard Norris, who'd accidentally shot himself in the face with a shotgun the same year the movie came out. So they were maybe inspired by this. They were like, the guy shot himself in the face. Maybe there's technology that can address his face issues. I don't know.
Good Lord.
IMDb notes this as a director trademark. A dove flies by before the final showdown. And that took place in the church scene of this movie. But also it's a reference to The Killer, John Woo's 1989 movie. So that's his director trademark. When the doves fly before the final scene.
When doves cry, boop, 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop.
So John Woo, as we mentioned, he had directed some previous U.S. movies. Hard Target, 1993, with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Broken Arrow, 1996. And he did Mission Impossible 2, if you remember, in 2000. So apparently his movies had little studio interference. They didn't, you know how movie studios, they usually give a lot of notes about movies and stuff like that that kind of influence the plot if they have studio notes. So they pretty much stayed out of his movies until he did this movie, where they said that demanded that they cut the opening assassination scene where Sean Archer's son gets killed. So just like you were saying.
Yeah.
But they didn't. He kept it in there.
I know. It makes the movie sad.
Yeah, it does make it sad. Okay, so here we go. Going back to the mythology thing. The main character is named Sean Archer. Sagittarius the Archer is one of the Zodiac constellations. And it's opposite, exactly opposite, halfway around the year from the constellation Gemini, which represents Castor and Pollux. There you go.
That's it.
We got it.
You know what? For our ideas of movies, we should just look to the sky.
Yes, I like it. All right. And finally, we'll end on this.
Yes.
Mark Wahlberg turned down the role of Pollux Troy. So he was going to be the brother.
He didn't seem to be an actor then, really.
Wahlberg? 94? I mean, he wasn't as big, but... So here's some more mythology stuff, and we'll end on that. In Greek mythology, Castor and Pollux, the two brightest stars in the constellation Gemini, were the twin sons of Zeus by Leda. The brothers fought together in the Trojan War, which of course was fought in Troy.
Mm-hmm.
This is not only their connection to Troy. Their mother, Leda, was also the mother of Helen of Troy. Of the Castor and Pollux mythology, Pollux was immortal, Castor was mortal. They were allowed to spend alternating days together between the underworld and Olympus because Zeus took pity on the pair and gave Castor half of Pollux's immortality because they could not take the separation of death.
Well, how can you take half of the immortality?
Give me your soul.
So that means you're mortal.
Yeah. He took some of the immortality of Pollux and gave it to Castor, so they're both half immortals. They're half the mortals they used to be.
I don't understand. If this is actually true, how could you be half immortal? You either can die or you can't.
I don't know. I did say that was the last comment, but
there's another one.
There's a couple good more. Nicolas Cage, and remember when Nicolas Cage is in jail and the guy that recognizes him who plays the Punisher, Thomas Jane?
Yes.
Both Nicolas Cage and Thomas Jane were married to and divorced from Patricia Arquette. They were married to the same person.
At the same time.
Not the same time. It's not like a sister-wife, brother-husband scenario.
That's just
that would be a pretty cool family get-together. Nicolas Cage and Thomas Jane. The Ghost Rider and the Punisher. If we're talking Marvel universes.
This could be a good movie.
This could be. And then finally, this is going to blow your mind, Rick.
Didn't you say that like four?
Yeah. This is the final.
Yeah, okay.
To blow your mind. You remember the guy that attacks Nicolas Cage in the jail, Dubov, right?
Yes.
When Dubov is attacked by the guards at the prison, he dodges behind a box. The box is marked InGen. What is InGen? What did they create? Or more in fact, what did they clone to bring back to life? InGen. Jurassic Park.
No.
That's the company.
That was the company?
InGen, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
InGen, shared universe.
InGen also means no one in Danish, Norwegian, and Swedish. Some fun facts. Now, Rick, one of the things that we usually do is we connect the last movie we did the reviews of to the current one. Now, I must admit.
The last one was a good one.
Last one was Three Amigos, which you and I both enjoyed.
Yes.
Brian, not so much.
Yes.
But this one was a bit difficult connecting because you had a lot of 80s comedy guys to 90s action people. It was difficult. I was able to do it.
I have a bunch.
Oh, you have a bunch. Yeah. I have one. So okay. do you want to go first and I'll throw one of mine in there? Or do you have the definitive? Don't throw out the definitive.
I have the definitive,
okay,
too, which I did not get.
Okay, so you have some non-definitive ones, too.
I have a bunch of different ones.
What do you got?
All right, so...
Are any of them more than one step? Because I had a two-step and that was the best I could do.
I have... Yeah, well, two-step is... Nicolas Cage was in The Weatherman with Michael Caine.
Oh, Michael Caine
was in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Steve Martin.
Ah, nice. I didn't know Michael Caine was in that movie, so that's good.
And then voiceover stuff, like Nicolas Cage was in Astro Boy with Eugene Levy.
Oh, okay.
Eugene Levy was in, a couple of different movies with Steve Martin.
Oh, of course.
Cheaper by the Dozen 2.
Cheaper by the Dozen 2.
Bringing Down the House.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, this is all... Just Nicolas Cage stuff.
Like, I have a John Travolta. If you want me to do a Travolta.
You could. Nicolas Cage was in National Treasure: Book of Secrets with Helen Mirren.
Oh, yes.
And Helen Mirren was in The Prince of Egypt with Steve Martin.
Oh, okay. That's an animated movie again, right? Okay.
Yep. But there was a lot of people in that one,
yeah,
by the way.
All right, you ready for mine?
Yes.
So here's a Travolta.
I'll give you the definite.
Yeah, then you can do the definitive. Here's the Travolta. Martin Short from Three Amigos was in two different Tim Allen movies, The Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause, and the movie Jungle to Jungle.
Oh.
And then, of course, Tim Allen was in, with Mr. John Travolta, Wild Hogs.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
So the definite one.
Yep. Hit me.
Is one of our amazing people that we love. Nicolas Cage was in Trapped in Paradise with John Lovett.
Oh, I knew he was in Trapped. I saw that movie.
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, I forgot about that movie. It's really bad.
Nicolas Cage was in Valley Girl with Tony Plana.
Oh,
who was also in
Three Amigos. Have got that. I should have got Trapped in Paradise, though. Yeah, it's him. There are a bunch of stupid robbers. Nicolas Cage and his brothers are John Lovitz and Dana Carvey. So I should have thought of that. Jeez. Okay, so there you go. Well done, sir.
And then I didn't link John Travolta to anybody.
Well, that's I had a two-step.
You did that.
Yeah. But is there a definitive Travolta?
Well, I'm going to look.
All right, so we got the definitive.
Yeah, so looking at John Travolta, everything was two steps. There wasn't anything.
Yeah,
Nicolas
it was
Cage
tough.
To John Lovitz, that's it.
Okay.
Boom, done.
Boom, moving on. So, Rick, this is the part where normally Brian would offer us a quiz, but since he's not here, well, I have a game for you.
Candyland.
Well, it's not a game. It's more of a pop quiz.
Oh.
A pop culture quiz. See how you do.
Okay.
I'm going to score you. This is going to be like an SAT test.
Is this like pop culture as of like this week?
Well, no. This is the test.
Like Prince William and...
Inspired
and
by...
Kate Middleton are going to be king and queen.
No, like pop culture like movies
today.
Since that's what we talk about here in the movie case.
Oh.
This is a possible maximum score of 15 points.
15 points?
So...
Is every question worth like 5?
2. Each it worth 2.
That doesn't make an odd number.
Well, you'll see. You'll see. Because there's a bonus question.
Oh.
So basically how it works. So we know that inspired by Face Off, that's basically a body swap movie, right?
Yes.
And there's a lot of other famous body swap movies. So I'm going to throw a few out there. And I want you, you have to name the two stars that swap bodies,
no,
if you can.
Crap. All right, go.
All right. So first of all, we're gonna start off, yes. The first one, as you did guess, is Freaky Friday. But
that's the first one?
It's the 2003 version. So not the original one with Jodie Foster as a kid, because I couldn't tell you the name of the mom who she switches with. But who are the two actresses that switch in 2003's Freaky Friday? I'll give you a description, too. An overworked mother and her daughter do not get along. When they switch bodies, each is forced to adapt to the other's life for one Freaky Friday.
Lindsay Lohan, and God, I can see her face, and I can see her peddling yogurt.
You're right.
Jamie.
Come on,
Jamie,
you got it. It's Jamie. On the tip of your tongue. Now lie in the bed and close your eyes.
Jamie.
Do it dusimo.
God. And she was in Trading Places
with
Dan Aykroyd.
You got it.
And Eddie Murphy.
She's married to Christopher Guest.
She is?
Yeah.
What?
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
You got it.
Yes.
All right. That was a bit of a hint, but I'll give you that for your first one.
I did actually not know she was married to Christopher Guest.
Yeah, yeah, yep, she is. All right.
You didn't give me it's not like her last name's Guest. It didn't give him help
that's
me
true.
At all.
You got the well, you know. All right. Now from 1988.
Oh God.
During an argument, a divorce executive and his 11-year-old son casually touch a magical Tibetan skull, releasing a mysterious power that transfers the father's mind to the body of the son, and vice versa. Their problems have just begun. Who are the stars of Vice Versa?
I've never heard of this movie.
You've never heard of this movie?
No. So I'm going to say...
Take a guess.
Tom Hanks and... Wait, what is it? 88?
Yeah.
That'd
88,
be too, yep. That'd be too young. Let's do... Man, a kid in 88.
A kid in 88?
Sean Astin.
Ooh, that's a good guess. Okay.
And father in 88.
The super 80s actor. Okay, that's your one clue.
Super 80s actor?
Yep.
Oh, God. Have we reviewed a movie with him in it?
Yes. I believe we have.
Oh, believe we have.
Yes, we have. Oh, you weren't there, though.
Oh,
you weren't there for this one.
Dan Aykroyd.
No, the father was played by Judge Reinhold.
Oh!
And the son was played by Fred Savage.
Oh, my
Vice
God!
Vice versa.
Oh, I was so not close at all.
In a similar movie, this one is from 1987, A mysterious potion switches the personalities of a button-up doctor and his laid-back son. Like father, like son.
Ted Danson.
Good guess.
Who would play the son?
That's the question. Another 80s teen heartthrob. There you go. It's a bit of a clue for you.
Teen heartthrob from the 80s?
Perhaps. I was going to give you another clue, but that's saying too much.
Is he in Arrested Development? Arrested Development now?
No, no.
It's not Jason Bateman.
I could give you a clue as to what he's up to now.
Oh, okay.
And it would give it away.
All right.
I'll give it after you guess.
No, say it now, because I'm not going to guess.
He's super into Jesus.
Oh, Growing Pains.
Yep.
Yeah. Kirk Cameron.
Yep. Kirk Cameron's the son. The dad was played by Dudley Moore.
Dude, that is nice. I was way off.
All right.
Okay.
So that's three questions out. Next one. Also from 1988. A lot of body swap movies from 87, 88.
Jesus. Did anyone have an original idea?
Exactly. By means of an accident, the soul of David and his swinging grandfather got swapped. While the grandfather's body is still in a coma, he enjoys having a young body again and repairs some facts in David's life, who he finds not to be self-confident enough. In the movie, 18 Again.
What? I've never heard of these movies.
I would be hard-pressed for you to get the grandson, but take a shot at the grandfather. Who
in
do you think
80s?
Of? What do you think of? Super old.
In the 80s, though.
Yeah.
Super old
in the
80s.
I think this guy's always been super old. That's just me.
Super old in the 80s.
I'm going to give you the son because there's no way in hell you'd ever get it.
All right, what's the son?
The actor's name is Charlie Schlatter. He played the TV version of Ferris Bueller. And he was also in the movie Police Academy 7, Mission to Moscow.
Oh, God. All right, so now let's go with the grandfather.
Did you ever watch the Ferris Bueller TV show?
No.
He played Ferris Bueller, and Jeannie was played by Jennifer Aniston.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Old guy in the 80s.
Old guy in the 80s.
But you said he's always been old.
He's always been one of those guys that's been old.
All right. I'm going to go with Richard Attenborough.
Whoa. Okay. George Burns.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he is old. All right.
All right. Next one. This one's more recent.
We'll
good. If you saw this one.
Good, because the only one I've gotten is Lindsay Lohan.
This is from 2011.
Okay.
Dave is a married man with three kids and a loving wife. And Mitch is a single man who is at the prime of his sexual life. One fateful night, while Mitch and Dave are peeing in a fountain, lightning strikes and they switch bodies. Who changes bodies in The Change-Up? 2011. I was going to say recent. That's 6 years ago.
I was going to say that's a long time
ago.
Wow,
yeah.
I don't think I've heard of this movie, but Mitch.
Mitch is the swinging bachelor.
So I'm going to go with, well, because of the name Mitch, I'm going to go with Luke Wilson.
Oh, wonderful.
Just because of the name Mitch.
Mitch. He does look like a Mitch.
Well, doesn't he play Mitch in
old
school?
Oh, in old school. Yeah,
yeah. He's Mitch in old school. And Jason Bateman.
Oh, that's one of them.
Is it really?
Jason Bateman plays the married guy with the three kids.
Oh!
So you get a point for that, but the swinging bachelor is Ryan Reynolds.
I don't think I've ever heard of this movie.
Yeah, The Change-Up. All right. Next question.
Deadpool.
Got a couple more.
Okay. I got one there, so I'm at three.
You're at three. This is from 2002.
Oh, right around my sweet spot of getting two names.
Wow, this is a really long description. I'm
all
not going to go with that.
It in a good voice, though.
In a world where a popular yet mean-spirited teenage girl wakes up one day to find herself turned into a man in his 30s. Along the way to finding out how she ended up like that and how to get back into her own body, she discovers how shallow and cruel she's always been.
Is this 30 going on, or 13 going on 30 or
nope,
something?
Nope, because that movie is like Big, where she just becomes young.
Yes.
So this is a hot cheerleader swaps with a 30-year-old man and vice versa. Not to be confused with the movie Vice Versa.
What's the name of this movie?
Oh, the movie is called The Hot Chick.
Oh, The Hot Chick. It's got Deuce Bigalow.
Who's that?
Oh,
what's
God.
His name?
The hell's his name?
Come on, you got this.
Oh, R, R, R. Right? Ron? No. Ron.
It is R. It is R. That's
it
right.
It is R.
He's friends with Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy.
Oh, God.
That was a bit of a clue. That's him playing the rich man from SNL. Come on, buddy. Making copies.
Making copies. Ron?
Nope.
Ray.
Maybe change
Schneider.
It to
Roy Schneider.
No, not Roy Schneider. Close though.
Two Rob friends. Schneider.
There you go. All right.
And
I'll give you 1 point.
All right, Rob Schneider.
You'll never get the second
Roy
one.
Schneider.
So.
Yes, Roy Schneider, the yep. guy who was in Jaws.
You'll never get it.
Was she in anything else?
Yes.
A lot
current
of
current actress. Yes, lots of things.
Current actress.
Yes. I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
One of her first movies
mm-hmm.
was in a movie with the same actress from the first movie we did on this list. What's the first movie we did, you guessed?
The first movie, I guess?
Yeah.
Or Jamie Lee Curtis?
But from what movie?
Freaky Friday.
And who else was in that movie?
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
She was in a movie with Lindsay
One
Lohan.
One of her first movies, yes.
Oh, is it the mean chick from Mean Girls?
Yeah. What's her name?
Oh, God. I don't know what her name is.
Come on. Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot. Let's
you get
see.
So many clues. Brian doesn't give these clues.
I know. Brian
I'm
doesn't
giving
give
you
clues.
Nice hints.
Yeah, but my mind doesn't work like
we're
this.
In an escape room. Yeah, I'm just trying to make
my
it fun.
My mind only focuses on the year 2003 and
in
Freaky
the
Freddy.
Year 2003.
Doctor
You're not
Strange
good,
with... Anne Hathaway. No, that's not it.
Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams.
All right.
The
two...
Notebook.
Yeah, there you go. All right, two more.
Okay.
So.
Worth 6 points apiece.
I don't feel like you're going to have much hope on this next one.
Oh, God. All right. Then it's worth 10 points apiece.
Well, we'll be down to the last one. We'll see how that one
can
does.
Can something be worth more?
Yeah, we'll do the last one. We'll be bonus. Again, from 1989, popular year.
Okay.
An accident puts the consciousness of an elderly dream researcher into the body of a bratty teenager. The problem? The kid prefers dream world limbo to real life. Who starred in the body-swapping movie Dream a Little Dream?
Would I know the actor?
Yes. I would have to take away your member of this podcast card if you did not know one of the actors of this movie.
Well, then I'm going to say Corey Haim.
Okay. Corey, he's in the movie. He's Corey, not the one that switches the bodies, though.
All right, Corey Feldman.
There you go. Okay. And you'll never get the other one who plays the elderly guy.
I would not know.
I'll give you a point for Feldman, even though I practically gave that
well,
to
wait,
you.
Well, wait. I said Corey Haim, too. You should give me a point for him, too.
Well, he's not the guy that switches bodies,
though.
It
doesn't though. Matter. I named him first.
No points for him, but the other guy is Jason Robards.
Who the hell is that?
You know Jason Robards?
No.
Famous actor.
Show me a picture. Oh, yeah, I do know him. I would have never, right. But it's not something I would have known.
All right, Rick, so you are up to, let me tell you the score, you're up to...
Like 4.
5 points.
5.
So this will be worth 10, so you could get the maximum
nice.
15.
Nice. All right, I got this.
So this is a big time. Now, you can tweet us and say this is complete bunk, but hey, this is
Don't
our podcast.
Don't tweet us that. I need this.
All right. Now, this is a TV show.
Oh,
gonna
God.
Switch up. No, you're going to like this.
Okay. Falky Bartakamus.
Scientist Sam Beckett finds himself trapped in time, leaping into the body of a different person in a different time period each week. Who is the star of Quantum Leap?
Well, that would be Scott Bakula. But who did he change bodies to?
Every week into a different body.
So what do you want me to do here? You want me to name bodies?
No, you name Scott Bakula. You got
because
it.
You
win.
It's always Scott Bakula.
You got it. 15. Good job, buddy.
I got the full win.
You did it. All right. Normally, we would kind of go through a pop culture list, but I think we kind of covered some of the best body swapping movies in that list, so I think we'll just stick with that.
What if I was to say it was Scott Bakula and what's his friend there?
Al.
Al?
You mean
Dean Stockwell.
Stockwell.
Yes.
Yeah.
I win.
All right, Rick.
Do I get extra points?
Here we go. No,
Give
well
me
done. Well done, though.
An extra point.
You did a good job. It's time for us to put Face Off in the stack rank list. All right, so this is going to be interesting. Where do you suggest we start? I feel we should start here because we did bring this up on the podcast. We were talking about other action movies. So why don't
Top
we
Gun.
Start with Sudden Death?
We'll okay. Compare.
So Sudden Death is at 38. So
I was going to say let's start at 30 and move our way down. But maybe
I was going to say move our way up.
Maybe, but I don't think it beats The Crow.
Well, let's start at 38, I say. So
okay.
Better than Sudden Death.
Yes.
So we're going above that. Better than Can't Buy Me Love.
Yes. Yes.
Better than Flight of the Navigator.
Yes. Yes.
Better than Spawn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say yes.
I like Spawn.
I say better than Spawn.
All right, keep going.
Better than Jingle All the Way.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of Jingle All the Way anyway.
Better than Major League.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I would say yes. It's so close, though.
Yeah.
The problem is once you get past Major League in our list, I think it's better than the Dark Crystal, Teen Wolf, UHF.
Masters of the Universe, better than Masters of the Universe, right?
Yeah, but I don't think it's better than The Crow.
Do you think it's better than Mortal Kombat? Why is Mortal Kombat above The Crow? How did that happen?
When did Mortal Kombat get...
That's something you guys overruled me.
No, maybe.
But what do you compare it to Twister?
No, I think it's... Again, I don't think it's as good as Twister.
You don't think it's as good as Twister?
Well,
I think I might like this better than Twister.
All right.
I'm thinking Under the Crow.
I definitely don't think it's better than The Crow. The problem is I think it is better than Masters of the Universe.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I don't think it's
better
than
Masters
The Crow.
Masters of the Universe got above The Crow.
I think it's better than Heavyweights. I think it's better than Batteries. I think... let's put it Under The Crow.
What if we put it... Okay, so The Crow is controversial.
Yeah, because I like The Crow.
What if we put it... I want to put it above Mortal Kombat.
Well, I think
under it, Top Gun. I don't think it beats Top Gun.
I think it is better than Mortal Kombat.
But I don't think it beats Top Gun.
I think it beats Harry and the Hendersons.
I think it beats most of the ones...
Which is just above Top Gun.
I think it beats most of the ones that, except questionably The Crow. I don't know why The Crow is so low. So I would put it under Top Gun. That's my call. I'd put it at number 23.
I don't know if it's that good.
You don't think it's that good? Okay.
I don't think so. I think it's close. I think you're right in that range. All right. I'm going to say...
Under Mortal Kombat?
Let's put it under Mortal Kombat.
Under Mortal Kombat. All right.
It's close. It's just I don't think it's better than The Crow, and now we keep moving The Crow down the list.
Yeah, I don't know why The Crow got so... I mean, that, again, we'd have to go back to our 100th, but I think I got outvoted there because I love The Crow. I thought that should have been better.
I like The Crow.
Yeah. All right, so that's number 24.
We'll blame Brian. He's not here.
That's one of the ones where Brian's like, I didn't see this one, so I'm going to vote it low.
Yeah, it's like Three Amigos.
All right.
Best movie ever.
So,
Go on.
I think for our final portion of this mini episode, let's jump right into a round of oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
Now, there's quite a lot of, like, well-known people in this movie, so...
There are a lot of people in this
movie. You know, we're not going to look up a John Travolta or Nicolas Cage, the two famous people, but...
No, but we can look up Joan Allen.
Joan Allen? Well, Joan Allen does a lot of stuff still,
I
feel.
What has she done
lately? That's a good question.
Yeah.
I feel like she's still doing a lot of stuff. Well, let's look at her quick.
All right, so Joan Allen...
Oh, all the Bourne movies. She was
in all the Bourne movies.
Pamela Landy.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, and I forgot she was in that movie Room with Brie Larson.
Death Race. She was
a few episodes of that TV show The Killing.
The Notebook.
Okay. Again, Rachel McAdams. There you go.
Yeah. All right, fine. She's been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah, Pleasantville and then Face Off.
Let's find some. Oh, here's a good one. Why don't we start off with the daughter, Jamie Archer, played by Dominique Swain.
Oh.
Because as Brian brought her up, we first came to know her when she was in the TV movie of that movie Lolita, which is like that controversial movie about a old professor falling for a young girl, and Jeremy Irons played professor. So what has she been up to? I saw her in that movie Alpha Dog a few years back, but that's been a while.
All right. Well, she's got 84 acting credits to her name.
All right.
She's in a lot of new stuff. Angelina. I don't know. She's playing Angelina. Holy Masquerade. She's playing Maggie. Magic. Reaching from Above, Carpe Diem, these are all Minutes to Midnight. These are all 2018. Battle of the Drones, 2017. Boone, The Bounty Hunter.
I think that came up on my Amazon, and I was like, is this a real movie?
It's got no one I know. Let me go down my list and see what I've found. She was in the knockoff of Fast and the Furious, The Fast and the Fierce.
That's a movie?
Yeah.
Who stars in that? Like a fake Vin Diesel? Like, I'm Van
Regular. Oh, my God. Adrian Paul.
Oh, from Highlander.
The Highlander.
The Highlander. Nice.
Everybody else I'm not sure of. But Adrian Paul, he's top billed, by the way.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you how good this movie is. The Shark Kansas Women's Prison Massacre.
That sounds like a porn slash horror.
It's a TV movie when a fracking environmental accident rips apart the Earth's crust. The resulting hole lets out prehistoric sharks from the underground.
Oh, so
the sharks target
channel.
A group of women and trap them in a cabin.
I feel like there should be a crossover with Sharknado.
So that's that storyline. Literally, though, I've gone through this list. I'm still scrolling, and I'm at 2014.
Wow.
So she's busy.
She is busy. That's true.
Her last big movie was Alpha Dog.
Yes. Which, how many years ago was that, though?
2006.
Like, that was one of JT, Justin Timberlake's, first movies.
Yeah.
So he's been in so many things since then. So, interesting.
And then The Job.
Steve Job?
No, The Job with Daryl Hannah.
Oh, okay. So, okay, so we'll go off of Dominique Swain, but
she's
like just
nothing.
But again, just looking at this cast list, it's just so crazy that all these people are big names. John Travolta, Nicolas Cage, Joan Allen,
Gina Gershon,
Herve Presnell. I knew that guy was from Fargo. We might look him up. Colm Feare, John Carroll Lynch, CCH Pounder, my favorite.
Yeah.
Robert Wisdom, Margaret Cho, James Denton, Matt Ross, Chris Bauer, Thomas Jane. These are all like really well-known.
Yeah, but Thomas Jane was not well known then.
Not then, right. This was an early one. But the guy, I think you actually should look up, Rick, because I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Danny Masterson?
The guy who played, well, Danny Masterson, yeah, he was the boyfriend. But the guy who played Pollux Troy, Alexandro Nivoluk, because, Rick, do you recognize him from what's another big movie around the same time that he was in?
No.
Dr. Alan Grant's assistant in Jurassic Park 3.
Is that why InGen came up?
That's why InGen came up, because he was Billy Brennan. But that dude's in, like, a lot of things. Like, I see him a lot of things pop up nowadays.
He was born in Boston.
Oh.
So he's a local kid.
That's why he was in the movie American Hustle.
Yeah.
Takes place in Boston.
No.
Well, around Boston.
American Hustle. I'm just looking at, like, big movies. There's a lot of just little stuff again.
Like, if you look, like, more towards today, he was in the movie The Wizard of Lies. That's
What's
the
that?
HBO Bernie Madoff movie where Robert De Niro.
Oh, but that's not an amazing.
He was in Selma, the movie about Martin Luther King and the bus strikes.
I don't know.
He
that.
Was in A Most Violent Year with Oscar Isaac.
I don't know that
movie.
Selma. Was Martin Luther King?
What? Yeah. Yeah.
About was Selma Blair?
No. Selma was the location. He was in American Hustle.
Oh, now I get it.
The Eye with Jessica Alba, that's not a big one. But, like, he pops up in different things.
Yeah.
Like Jurassic Park 3. That was probably his biggest one after Face Off, I'd say.
What about the movie Reach the Rock?
He's just trying to go towards Dwayne Johnson? Just trying to get there?
Two school kids who are best friends and drinking on the side of a river.
Oh, it sounds like
one
us.
Friend bets the
We're
other
just drinking
that he can't
by the side of a river.
One friend bets the other that he can't swim across the river and reach the rock.
Oh, wow.
The friend takes the bet and drowns halfway towards the rock. The entire town blames the kid for his friend's death. He runs away, never to be seen again. He eventually comes back home.
Until you revealed what happened to the kid.
Crazy.
I can say that's a typical Friday night for us.
Except for dying and blaming kids and then runs away, never to be seen again.
Yep.
And then comes back.
And then comes back.
I love that like, this storyline is awful.
He's back.
Never to be seen again until he comes back.
Until he comes back. Rick, here's a good one.
Yep.
So out of the cast list,
yep.
The actor Miles Jeffrey. Do you know who Miles Jeffrey played?
He played the son.
He played the son, Michael Face Waterfall. He played Michael Face Waterfall Archer.
All right. He's been in the TV series Pound Puppies.
Oh, wow.
He was in the movie 11-11.
Okay. Make a wish.
The Ant Bully. Nicolas Cage.
Oh.
And Julia Roberts.
As Tess from Oceans of 12.
Yes, shared universe. Frozen Impact.
Is that the prequel to Frozen?
This is a plane carrying the liver destined for a child's transplant crashes in a hailstorm.
Oh, okay.
It's got Stacy Keach in it and Ted McGinley.
Oh, he ruins everything.
Then he was in, he did a lot of voices in the Disney show Recess.
Okay, I've heard of that, yeah.
He did voices in Stuart Little.
Ah. Michael J. Fox as the voice of Stuart Little.
He played an elf in the Santa Claus 2.
Oh, Tim Allen.
There we go. Connect him to Martin Short. Short.
No, he's in the third one.
He's in
the third one only. Oh. Good try, though.
That's not bad.
Well played.
It was an uncredited
Governor.
Role. And then in the Disney Channel movie, Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Also, Disney Channel movie, Stepsister from Planet Weird.
Okay.
He was also
Sounds
in the
fun.
Wonderful World of Disney.
Oh, Brian could have spoke to that.
Oh,
about.
He played a, I'm not sure who this is, Henry Paget, but he was in 19 episodes of Early Edition.
Oh, I remember that show. That's where the
that
guy
show.
From Friday Night Lights got the paper
yeah.
ahead of time. And the
Ron
guy who was
Swanson.
His best friend.
No, what's his name? Ron. Ron.
Was that the character's name?
No. What's
well,
the,
his best friend was no, played no. by Fisher Stevens. Number 25.
What the guy's name? Ron? No, not Ron.
Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler. Yeah, that's yeah. it.
He does look like Ron Livingston, though.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. That's who
that's
I'm
your,
thinking
That's
of.
Your next Timothy Elephant, Josh Dumas.
Yeah. That could be it.
That's your next face-off.
It could be a game of twins. It could be those two would be assassins.
Not
against,
identical.
against two... computer programmers.
Wow.
And it would be Ron Livingston and Kyle Chandler.
Kyle Chandler. And they get news of their success early via paper.
No, I'm not bringing that in.
Oh,
there.
Okay. I thought that would be a good twist.
So then he was in All Dogs and
Go
All
to
Dogs,
Heaven?
Well, in All Dogs Christmas Carol.
Oh.
He was in Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh.
As a voice of Easy. The Jungle Book, Mowgli's Story. He was a wolf pup. The Odd Couple 2.
Okay.
He played
Never saw
Little
that one.
Boy. But that was with Walter
Matthau.
He did
Matthau. Pretty good. He
yeah,
did pretty good, huh?
And then Beverly Hills 90210, he played 15 episodes.
Wow. What was his
Lois and
name
Clark.
That?
Zach Reynolds.
Well, you know, Rick, we need to, you know, we have to end on that one. If you bring up Dean Cain, that's kind of the topper, I think. So we got
to
end.
We can connect him to Dean Cain.
We can connect him to Dean Cain. We're good. We're good forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that kind of wraps up this section of where have these actors gone. Any kind of final thoughts about Face Off or life in general? Dean Cain, if you
I
will.
I think much like our previous reviews it of The Three Amigos, you should skip the first 5 minutes of this movie.
I was going to say.
And then you will never know that then, John Lovitz is in the No.
That'd be great if John Lovitz was in this, yeah.
He's the guy working the circus. I don't even know.
Rick, I think that gives us a good idea, so I'm going to bid the Cinemaniacs adieu and say, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini-episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, who is in Florida.
No, I'm not.
Oh, he's here. Just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Hey, step right up, see? John Lovitz type of character. Hey, you, sir, I see you're here with your son in the park today. That's the ticket. Would you like to buy a ticket for the carousel? I have enough space for you and my wife, Morgan Fairchild.
Am I riding this with my son, or am I riding it with your wife?
You're riding it with your son, sir. You have your son here, I see. Sip right up, have a ticket. Do be aware that today, just for today, I do want you to be wary of potential sniper shots going on today.
Are we getting a deal on the ticket? Is it half price?
Well, it could be. If the bullet happens to impact the ticket, it could be cut in half, you see?
Ah. Okay, can I buy a bulletproof vest with...
Oh, I'm sorry, we're all out, sir. Those were just taken by...
But you have the extra large here. My son doesn't need one.
Those were just taken by Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone's kids.
Oh.
They're on the other side of the carousel.
Oh!
They're actually the first choice is to ride the carousel, but since they were not available, you're able to step right up, sir.
Okay, we'll turn it on.
All right, here we go. It's going. Oh, please, clutch your kid close to you in case you're shot in the heart.
Oh, I don't like... What about my back?
Oh, that's fine. Just leave it exposed.
Okay.
No one's going to hit that.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
I'm John Lovitz at the Carousel.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini-episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next Full Movie Reviews It. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at thefivedollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. You can download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Wah, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, like our local cable access television appearance, you can visit NaticImprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. Big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby body swappers.